B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Now, to give us a better perspective on all things revolving around the entire sports world here in Philadelphia, on the line with us right now from Inquirer.com, we welcome in Mr. Bob Ford. What's going on, Bob?
Wow, perspective on everything.
Everything, Bob. You don't make no stone left unturned.
And you think Carson Wentz has pressure, Ford.
I do, as a matter of fact.
Bob, great to have you on. Thanks for coming on with us, man. Now, we started most of the show today, and we've been talking a lot about Carson Wentz. We've been talking a lot about Doug Peterson and his play calling and all that. When you look at that game now on Tuesday, you know, day removed, and after the press conference, Doug Peterson looked at the film, tried to explain some things. Is there any more clarity to their game plan, especially in the second half with getting away from the run?
Well, they didn't have the guy who could run in the middle of the field, Jordan Howard, and the other team was scheming up pretty well to stop the other guy, and then they lost their best offensive lineman. So, I mean, I think that was a big part of it. I do think Doug gets a little pass happy sometimes. There's no question about that. But I also think that, you know, there's so many personnel issues on the offense right now that that's really where it is. And to throw it all in the lap of coaching or, you know, Carson didn't lift the team all by himself, I think is unfair.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Bob Ford from the Inquirer, so what would you look at? Would you just look at Belichick being able to outcoach just about anybody, or would you look at it as what has been nagging this team all year, which is drop passes, inability for receivers to get open?
excuse me, I'm fighting a little bit of a cold. It's the inability to have the receivers on the field who can get open. I mean, I think that guys out there who aren't getting separation, and when they get a little bit and the ball's up in the air, they don't catch it. So I think it's a talent gap. I'm not a good enough football coach to tell you Bill Belichick made great adjustments. He's certainly known for doing that. But I honestly believe that the biggest adjustment that the Eagles were unable to counter was when they had to put Vitae in a tackle and their line fell apart. And that was the turning point of the game. They were up 10-0. Johnson goes out and they never score again.
Bob, we list a myriad of problems that has gone on with this team, and then you've just hit on some in the few minutes you've been here. But if you had to, after 10 games, this team's sitting at 5-5, what is the biggest reason that this team is 5-5 and not at a 7-3, 8-2 clip that many of us expected?
Well, fans don't want to hear it, but a lot of it's bad luck. And it's, you know, maybe it's a combination of bad decisions to go with that bad luck. But DeSean Jackson was an enormous difference maker for this offense, and they don't have it. Okay, was it wrong to bet on a guy of his age with a little bit of his injury history? At the moment, you would say yes. But it was certainly bad luck that he's been gone the whole season, essentially, and taking away a big, big component of their offense. They also had some bad luck with injuries on defense, or guys that didn't come back as fast as they should have. And so they lost some games early, I think, because they were running out, you know, Orlando Scandrick guys and, you know, people who just are out of work now because they just can't play football. So fans don't want to hear that. They want to be able to put a, you know, a bullseye on somebody and point at them, and here's the problem, and let's run Howie out of town on a rail, and let's Doug's dumb because Frank Reich isn't around anymore, and Carson Wentz isn't the Superman we thought he was going to be, and what a bust, let's trade him and draft somebody else. That's what fans want to do and wave their arms around and say that kind of stuff. And some of it, there's components of that that have some accuracy. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it, sometimes it's just not your season. It just didn't go the way you wanted it to go. And I think this is one of those.
Yeah, I definitely get that feeling, Bob. And I said it a little bit ago. It just feels like a lost season. And I hate saying that when you have really this game against the Seahawks. You have, well, about four more games that should be against cake opponents. I want to say that, but I don't believe it. And then you have the one game against the Cowboys. And it feels like, as much as I want to look forward to that game against the Cowboys and say it's all going to come down to that, it might be lost even before then.
Well, it could be. And the Eagles are certainly capable of losing one of those four layups.
Sure.
Suggested. I don't think the Seattle game matters if they do anything else they're supposed to. And then you're right. It comes down to beating Dallas in the link. Beating a team that lost this year to the New York Jets, okay? So Dallas and the Dallas Cowboys invincible, can they absolutely not beat them? Of course they can beat them. And it would be really exciting, and we'd all be pumped up about it if it came down to that game. just to see if they could get themselves into the postseason and, you know, at least extend the interest around here for a couple more weeks. Will that happen? I don't know. But, yeah, I don't think there's any reason right now to say it's completely lost season. It's just it's an injured season. It's a really injured season.
Speaking with Bob Ford, Inquirer.com. Bob, the other part of this, I want to flip it over to the Sixers right now. We were kind of sold a bill of goods, it feels like, watching and the progression through the offseason, Joel Embiid, workout picks and being in shape, and then also looking at Ben Simmons and working out and working on his jump shot. And it seems like in the early goings of the basketball season, you haven't seen any of that. Do you think we were sold a little bit of a bill of goods here when it comes to the Sixers?
I think that when we were told not to worry about Joel Embiid's conditioning because he was just going to absolutely make sure that he was left the court crying in Toronto because, you know, this is never going to happen again. He doesn't look like he's in that good of shape to me. And, yeah, the Ben Simmons workout videos draining three after three, and, man, this is Ben's really got it now. Well, apparently Ben doesn't got it now. And, yeah, it's frustrating. This team is a really frustrating team because they have all the components there to be really, really a deep playoff contender. And it's just frustrating. They probably still will be. You know, probably, obviously, they're going to contend. But it's just frustrating that they're not, that those components have not developed the way you want them to. And I'm not sure, unlike the Eagles, where to point the blame. My tendency is that is to point it towards the players for not doing what they should have been doing or not grasping it. But I'm not sure. But, yes, I agree. They sold a bill of goods. I'm not sure. Maybe we were just led astray that things were going to change and they haven't.
Bob, if I'm not mistaken, while you were covering the 76ers, you hit all 82 games for three straight years?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So I think you're the proper guy to go to on load management. I'm not saying it's stupid. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not bashing it. But in Joel Embiid's case, have you seen it work for him? Is there a better way for it to work for him? How do you think he should be handled moving forward as far as workload and getting back into shape?
What concerns me, Bob, or not concerns me, but the question I would want to know is, okay, when he's not playing, what is he doing?
Yeah.
Is he sitting around, or is he doing some helpful cardio? Is he doing something else that's going to improve his conditioning? You know, when he's not doing that pounding that, you know, 7'2", 280-pound guy is getting playing in the NBA, which I get to wear you out. And people point to how the Raptors handled Kawhi Leonard last year. Didn't play it back-to-back, took it really easy, and, you know, how did the season end for them? Pretty well.
Right.
So I get the theory, but what I don't see is it having a positive effect on Joel. I don't see, okay, they're load managing him, and then when he's out there, he really looks engaged, he really looks fresh, he really looks like he's into it. There's some games where Joel does not look like he's all that into it until the last 5-10 minutes of a game. And that, I think that's troubling, and I can't explain it. I understand the science of it. I don't want to be, you know, okay boomer about this thing. But you know, maybe I am going to do that in a few weeks.
Speaking with Bob Ford of Inquirer.com, on a more serious note, anyone that grew up in this area, I'm sure are expressing condolences to anyone from the Daily News, anyone from the Inquirer, anyone in Inquirer.com right now that knew, worked with Bill Lyon. And I certainly grew up in this area, and I know how much he meant to so many people here, especially people in your line of work, and Bob Cooney, your line of work as well. My condolences to you and the rest of your colleagues.
Well, thanks a lot. He was just a wonderful, wonderful guy. I worked with him for 18 years, and I knew before that as well. And he was the same guy every day. And it's really hard to be the same guy every day, especially when he was upbeat and as much of a human being as he was to everyone. Very modest guy, even though maybe his talents were obvious. And he was not unaware of them. He knew he was good, but he was a very modest guy and easy to work with and the fastest deadline runner I was ever around. And so his skills were, as I said, obvious, but what sticks with me is just his humanity and just what a good, upbeat, nice man he was to be around. And he is missed, obviously. And thank you for remembering him.
Yeah, he was one of those columnists that pissed you off all the time, Bob, where you and I would be getting ready to write the story, and he already encompassed better than we ever could everything that we wanted to, and he was done before we got started.
Yeah, he could annoy you because he was pretty quick. And then you say, well, he was so fast, it certainly couldn't be any good. And then you read it the next morning, you go, oh, God, that's not fair. That's just not fair.
Yeah, he was on a different playing field.
He was.
Bob Ford, really appreciate it. And again, our condolences to everyone with the Inquirer family over there in the regards to passing of Bill Lyon. Thanks a lot for coming on, my man.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Have a good day, Judge.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.